We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. I'm done wrestling with the microphone. I think I finally got it to submit to my needs.
After a few rounds where the microphone won, you didn't left that part out.
But in the last round, I finally came through, and I think I've got it.
You've beat it into submission.
We got these high-tech little springy things here that you supposedly you can put the microphone anywhere you want it. But unfortunately, I get it exactly posed the way I would like it, and then it springs back to where it was before. But enough about the mic.
We need a boing sound effect. That would be good.
We should. Yeah, every time I was here, boing, I didn't introduce you.
Oh.
You are also the very Reverend Honorable.
The Right Reverend.
The Right Reverend Matthew Youngblood Clark.
That's right.
From where, Matt?
From Ascension Lutheran Church.
And you're not going to tell us how beautiful it is there and how close it is to Ted Drews?
In lovely, picturesque South St. Louis City.
Park across the street, if I remember.
Oh, Francis Park. From the southwest corner of Francis Park. Can't beat it.
So do you have trouble getting people to actually come into the church because they're going down for ice cream and they're playing out in the park? Do you have to kind of yell for them a couple times? Come on, it's time for church, guys.
Well, we have this plan. We have a parish nurse. We have a number of parishes, but yeah. Our nurses, I mean.
No, I've got a number of parishes.
You got a number of parishes.
You just got one.
Oh, boy. But we have a number of nurses, but the plan is we do blood pressure screenings before worship, which is nice.
And then you do them after the sermon, see
what happens. No, that's an idea though. But to do them out in the park across the street,
is that right?
Yeah. Well, as a community service, I think that's kind of a neat idea. But then we thought, well, people are typically jogging in the park. That's why they're there. So their blood pressures are going to be kind of elevated
from the exercise.
We're going to panic everyone if we do that. But we might give it a shot, see how it goes. So
you haven't been doing this last January, have you? Because I'm thinking. You probably didn't get a lot of takers out there in the park to get their blood pressure.
Just a couple cold nurses.
Can we come in now?
So Barb Hartung, if you're listening, our parish nurse, we won't stick you out there.
Until
the spring thaw.
All right. Wait a second. I got to find my sound effect. Where is it at?
I don't want to be premature with the no time for foolishness because I thought you had some Latin.
Oh, we'll save that for another time.
A Latin lesson.
No, yes. There's no time for foolishness.
There is no time because you left us hanging, you rascal. My blood pressure was raised after last week.
Oh,
because we've got this guy and he falls over dead, but we don't know why he fell over dead.
Because
he didn't have
his blood pressure checked.
Excuse me, Matt. Now you're making me laugh. So, yes, you want to review what the story was?
Well, sure. We're with Ananias and Sapphira, but so far we really haven't heard a whole lot about Sapphira. We've just heard about Ananias.
Beautiful, they called her, didn't they? They called her beautiful.
Yeah, her parents called her that at least because that's what her name means. Yeah. Sapphira means beautiful. Ananias, his name means the Lord is gracious. So some nice names, but...
Oh, yeah, the Lord's gracious, right? Knocks you over dead.
Yeah, what's the deal?
Yeah, what's that all about?
Well, and is it because the Lord misunderstands the grace, or is it because Ananias misunderstands what grace is?
Ooh, that's a very powerful insight. Let me lay out for people what's happening.
Yeah, please. Please do.
Okay, Matt. So we've got people selling their property, given to the church, which, by the way, goes on today. The church that I am worshiping in tomorrow morning is there by the grace of God and by the gift of a man by the name of Bill Keim, who literally sold his farm and gave it to the church. Of course, Bill was dead at the time, but still, I mean, he left that all to the church. And as we talked about, did we talk about that last week, about the fact that maybe Barnabas did that? Because Barnabas, I get the impression he was kind of, didn't have any family. He was wandering with Paul all over?
Yeah, perhaps so. Yeah, he was Paul's travel companion.
And honestly, that's what it was with Bill, too. I don't want to give people the impression that Bill didn't care about his family, that he left them destitute and gave everything to the church. But Bill didn't have a family. He had one sister, and she had passed away before he had. And I just thought it was neat that he wanted to leave that bequest to our congregation. And because of that, we have the church building we are worshiping in today. So anyway, I don't know why I got off on that, because the point was, then this guy named Sapphira and Ananias, they want to do the same thing, just like Barnabas. And they give a gift to the Lord, but they keep a portion back for themselves, which I think we agreed that wasn't wrong. If you sell a piece of property, it would be nice if you gave a portion to the church, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But you don't have to give all of it. We wouldn't expect you to give all of it. Now, Bill did. He gave everything. But then again, he was dead and had no family. So help me out here. What? Because then apparently there was something wrong, because then God just knocks this Ananias guy
dead.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Because on the surface, I think that looks like the mistake that Ananias made.
Yeah.
He didn't give everything to the church. He should have, because Barnabas, he sold the field,
well,
and it
yeah.
seems like he gives it all to the church.
Yeah.
Well, what's the deal here?
It's 100%. That's what we want.
Come on,
from
give till it hurts. Yeah. That's what's the problem is that, yeah, we have to give it all or else watch out. Whammo. But again, Peter himself here in this discussion talks about how that's not the case. If we can maybe just read that again. After Ananias gives this to the church, Peter talks to Ananias in these series of questions. I think that's interesting. In verses 3 through how about 3 through 5? Why don't we just review that?
And by the way, just let me make a comment on that, because my wife is a principal, and she said that's a really good way. When you found somebody doing something wrong, rather than storming in and telling them what wrong they've done and how angry you are, asking questions is a good way to get at it. Good way to raise kids, too. If you think your kids have done something wrong, don't just go in and tell them about how evil and bad they are, but ask them questions. It's what God did, didn't he, to Adam and Eve? Remember? What's going
Ooh,
on here?
Wow.
Yeah. Did you eat of that fruit? Well, anyway, so we got the same question thing here. I'll read it for you. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.
Yeah, and then after he hears those words, he falls dead. He breathes his last breath.
Have a heart attack, you think? He was so shocked by this.
It doesn't say, but it does seem to be pretty instant, though, whatever
Blood
the case is.
Blood pressure went up really high. Needed the parish nurse to
rush the parish nurse. The AED.
There you go.
Yeah,
these days, that's right. They would have pulled the AED out, and they would have been giving him the old shock treatment.
So, falls down, breathes his last. So, that's the thing. Okay, so when we're trying to think through, okay, what was his sin? This first sin, as we said last week, recorded in the book of Acts, first sin in the early church,
first
really.
First sin in the church.
Yeah, so what is it? And it looks like it's because he didn't give his all, but really, again, Peter says, well, no, that's not it. When it was unsold, whose did it belong to? Well, it was Ananias's, at least, as a steward, to do what he wants with it.
Yeah.
When it was sold, it was at his disposal. No, that's not the problem. What's the problem? Well, Peter, I think, points it out. He says, you have not lied to men, but to God.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what was the sin in this? Not that he didn't give the whole amount, but the impression that he did give the whole amount when he brings it. So he lies to the apostles, and ultimately, he lies before God himself.
In fact, that was the first statement. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?
Yeah,
so it's the deception.
So Peter really gives us the answer here. Yeah, the deception. So if we're looking at the commandments, what commandment is Ananias breaking here? And Sapphira, too.
Okay, let me start. Number one is, thou shalt not have another gods before me. Take me a second.
It's
like the alphabet. Are you that way? The alphabet, A, B, C, D.
I'm like that all the time.
Eighth commandment, I believe. Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Very good. Yeah. So don't bear false witness. And then it includes deceiving and lying and all those things. And here, certainly deceiving both the apostles, that Christian community, giving off the appearance as if he gave it all,
also
deceiving
God. Look at us,
God.
How holy we are.
Yeah. So why did he do that? Why didn't he just come clean and say, we sold a piece of property, and here's a portion of what we sold. You know, here it is for the Lord, for the church. He would have been okay then, right?
Yeah. We said that. There's
but
nothing
why give
wrong
off that appearance?
That.
Why do you think he went through the? Why did he lie?
Well, I think it's that's why it parallels with the story of Barnabas, because they wanted that same kind of praise and honor. You know, if you give a portion of what you have, that's a good thing. No one's going to grumble and complain about that. But to give up everything you have. Wow, that's really impressive. Yeah. Then, yeah.
Look at
yeah.
these guys. Give them a round of applause. Give them a nickname like Barnabas.
Maybe that's right. They want a nifty nickname. Yeah,
yeah. Barnabas got one. Why can't we get one? Jolly John and Matt Youngblood have one. Maybe that's what they're after.
That's right. They want the nifty nickname. Well, like Peter. Peter,
he's
that's
got
a nickname
one.
Too. Yeah,
yeah. Come on. Yeah. Spread the wealth here. So, for whatever the reason is, it seems as though I think it's safe to say it's out of, I would say, pride.
Yes.
Pride.
Yep.
That they want to make a name for themselves. They want to appear pious. They want to appear as if they're giving their all when deep down they know they're not.
Matt, did you see the light bulb go on over my head? It's a little dim. I understand that. But it occurred to me, see, this is exactly what we were talking about last week, that about being stewards. The heart of being a steward is that I don't have anything. I've got some good stuff that's been given me I'd love to share with you. But on the other hand, please remember, it wasn't my stuff. It belongs to this guy named God, and he's just using me to help out other people with it. In which case, I don't get any honor or any glory. It's just like what it says in the Bible. Do your good works before men so that they will give glory to your Father in heaven.
Oh, exactly.
Matthew chapter 5. But here it's totally inverted. Here they want to be known as the good stewards, as the ones who have sacrificially given to the church, but in so doing, they've totally defeated the whole purpose of giving, which is all the glory going to God.
Yeah, because the field is a gift from God, just for exactly. You know, held in trust with them, perhaps, but from God. So if they gave a portion of it, well, really big deal. It was God's anyway. If they give the whole thing, big deal. It was God's anyway, too. Ultimately, he's the giver of all good gifts.
Of course, see, that makes me think probably they didn't think it was God's, did they?
Well, see, maybe. Maybe there's other commandments here, too. Maybe the first commandment. Maybe they don't trust in God above all things, right? Have no other gods. Or maybe they don't love God or trust in him or trust
that
everything's
that
from
that money. It's not that I don't believe in God. Of course, they do. But then again, you know, it doesn't hurt to have money.
Yeah.
Just in case God messes up.
Yeah.
You got something to fall back on. So then you're asking yourself, what are you really trusting in then?
You bet.
Was it God or was it the money?
Yeah. So in this case, we see,
that one's easy for me, brother, because that's the first one. If you'd
ask
me, I know that. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The others, I have to count
through. Look at
through.
That. Just that fast.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
For an old guy, you're good.
Thanks, Matt.
So, you know, I think here hypocrisy too. So pride, that false piousness, hypocrisy, to say one thing or give off the impression of one thing that they gave their all, but yet to do another.
Oh, now you're making me real uncomfortable. Because, you know, as a pastor, a lot of times I do things because I just kind of want people to tell me what a wonderful pastor I am. You know?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing that we need to bring up too. This isn't just an issue in the early church. It's not just an issue for Ananias and later as we see his wife Sapphira, but it's an issue for us pastors today, and it's an issue for the church today. And I would go so far as to say perhaps the main criticism that those outside the church have of the church is that it's full of a bunch of hypocrites.
Yeah.
And maybe in some ways they're right.
Yeah, that's the scary thing.
Pastors like you and I included.
Of course, you know what my answer is when someone says that to me.
What is your answer?
My answer is, we've got room for one more.
There you go. Join the club.
Join the club.
You're welcome.
But I think you're right. I think you're right. There is a truth to that, and we need to be able to confess that.
Well, but people look at that, and they see, and then the paper again today, you know, this idea of priest abuse, and now this transparency is being demanded, and oh, boy, the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. Or you see these different TV preachers, the stereotypic TV preacher who's asking for money, and then spends it on a lavish lifestyle. Hypocrites in the church.
Yeah. He's buying the fields, not giving them.
Yeah. So what's the answer to that as a church? What's the answer to that as pastors? If we are indeed at times hypocrites, what's the answer? To deny it? Say, no, we're not hypocrites.
We're not that bad.
Here. We're not
we
that
can't
bad.
Be. God's not striking us down, Dad.
Just sweep it under the carpet. No, the answer is... What do you think?
Confession.
Repent of
this.
Confess it. Own up to it. Yeah, we are hypocrites, myself included. I'm sorry, though. I repent of that. Lord, forgive me. For Jesus' sake, to confess it. That's the key. You know. So when there is that criticism outside the church that the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites, own up to it. Say, well, yeah, I think there's some truth to that. At times we can be hypocritical. But you know what? It's wrong. And I'm guilty of it too. And I confess that. And we look to Jesus Christ for forgiveness from that.
Now, can I ask you the difficult question, though, Matt?
Please.
Okay.
Please.
Well, I don't know. Everything you're saying is so true. Because that's when we read the story of Ananias and Sapphira, it's so easy for us to say, well, thank God we're not like that.
Yeah.
But you're right. At the heart, this pride, this idolatry, this hypocrisy, it's something that all of us struggle with. And so when we look at this text, we should be able to do, as you said, to repent and say, I see these things going on in my life. But here's the thing you had raised last week, and so I'm going to raise it again. Why does God strike this guy down dead? Or better yet, why hasn't he then responded to us that way? I mean, the wages of sin is death. Why does God allow us to continue in these things?
Yeah. So here, well, I before we get there.
Okay, yeah.
Did Ananias have to die, I wonder?
Well, he did. Apparently he had to. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, what we talked about repentance just now, and that's the right response here. And I'm wondering, what should have Ananias have done as Peter is talking to him and questioning him?
I guess he should have fallen on his knees and said, forgive me.
See, that's what I'm kind of thinking here. He should have repented, as we just talked about. So Peter asked him these questions. We talked about that. When a kid's in trouble, you should ask him questions. Peter asked him these questions. Why did you keep back part of the proceeds of the land? What remained unsold? Did it not remain in your own after it was sold? Was it not your disposal? Why is it that you've contrived these deeds in your heart? And what's Ananias' response to all these questions?
Nothing.
Silence.
Yeah.
Silence.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, if he would have said, Peter, you're right. I've sinned. I've done wrong. You caught me. You know, Lord, forgive me. Do you think he would have been forgiven?
Of course he would have been.
Yeah.
Peter himself denied that he knew the Lord three times, and the Lord forgave him that. So,
So, and the same with the little kid. When we address them and when we confront them with a sin that they've done, something they've done wrong, and we ask them those questions, ultimately as a parent, one of the things I'm looking for is for them to admit, you're right, I was wrong. I messed up, Dad. You know, forgive me. I'm sorry. That's what we're looking for. And I think really that's what God desires of Ananias too, to see that sin, to confess it, to seek that forgiveness. But he doesn't. And so why is Ananias struck dead? Because the wages of sin
is death.
Is death.
Oh.
The wages of sin is death. How could he avoid those wages of sin? How do we avoid those wages of sin? Well, confess it, right?
Yep, and the forgiveness that comes then
from
through
Christ.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So you ask a great question. So the wages of sin is death, okay? That's why Ananias is struck dead, because he sins against the Lord here and is unrepentant of that sin, and he's struck dead. The wages of sin is death, but again, the rest of that verse is, but the gift of God, is eternal life in Christ.
Thank you. Yeah. And thanks for that. Yeah, because we focus on that, the wages of sin is death. But like you say, really the point of that is that what God wants to do is give us forgiveness and life. But now, so there are a lot of times when I sin and I don't repent immediately. Adam and Eve, they didn't repent. They started blaming each other. So help me out here. Why is it that you and I have not been struck down dead when we have sinned and not immediately repented?
Yeah, so that's the question. Yeah. Why is Ananias here dropping dead, and why are we, us guys in here, not dead, still on the air?
Yeah, really. And a lot of people wonder that. After every show, a lot of people wonder, why are they still on the air?
Emails come rolling in.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. That's the thing. And the only response I can give is the meaning of Ananias' name. What does Ananias' name mean? The Lord is gracious. Mm. And really, that's the only answer I can give. We deserve it. The more, I think that's the question, isn't so much why was, you know, Ananias struck dead, why aren't we struck dead?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
really, all I can say is the Lord is gracious. You know, Ananias deserved it. We too deserve it. The Lord is gracious. He gives us that opportunity to repent. And through his word, through his spirit, he works that repentance in us. And we do look to Jesus Christ for forgiveness, the one in whom there is forgiveness in life. And it's only by God's grace. And part of the reason I think that Ananias' account, as we'll see, his wife Sapphira, her account is in here as well, is an example to us today.
Should we do that? Should we just get Sapphira? We probably should.
Let's move on to his wife.
And after an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." Again, so the question business, isn't it? And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband, and great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things.
Yeah, so the same fate, sadly, very sadly. But isn't that interesting? You know, Peter even gives her the chance, it looks like. "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much."
Yeah, and very specific. You know, I think, yeah, there's no doubt that they know what's going on. And anybody, she should have said, "Yeah, okay, you found me out." How easy that would have been for her to admit that.
Yeah.
But she won't repent.
I just won't repent. Yeah. And then to have that news that your husband just died, you know, I wonder what went through her head. If there was that, you know, immediately she dies. But I wonder if just for a split second she thought, oh. But boy, you know, to even have that opportunity and just to still to lie to Peter's face.
And you know, the thought that occurred to me, because in both of these cases, it says you're lying to the Holy Spirit. I know the one reason why I've always given Adam and Eve a second chance, because they don't repent either.
Yeah.
But again, they don't know the Holy Spirit at that point. They don't know what God would do if you did something wrong. As far as they know, maybe God does just strike you down with a lightning bolt. But these guys apparently do know. They've heard the teaching of the gospel. They know that it's about Jesus Christ coming to save sinners. They know that what Christ does when we repent is he forgives us. And yet, despite that knowledge, they do not act on that faith.
Great point. They know the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
But the gift of God is life through Jesus.
The gift of God is life.
The whole thing.
They know that, but they refuse to accept that.
His name
that.
Even means it, but yet refuse to realize that, to receive that gift. Ugh. Yeah, yeah. So this whole account here, again, when we're talking about our giving, when it talks about how we give to the Lord, and it's not so much how much we give necessarily, but it's the spirit in which we give.
Yes.
You know, why we give or how we give. And maybe that affects how much we give too in some ways, but no, at the root is why we give and how we give. Certainly this example from Ananias and Sapphira is what not to do.
And it's also, though, like you said, Matt, it is an example of how gracious God has been to us, because he could strike down any one of us at this moment with death. And in fact, someday he will do exactly that, and does so in complete just and righteousness, because we are sinners and we deserve nothing. But he's being patient. He's being patient with us. And I have to think in the back of my mind, he knew that in this case, patience wouldn't help, that these people were hardened in their hearts. They had rejected the work of the Spirit. And that's what the Bible says, right? If you reject the work of the Spirit, then that's one thing that God cannot overcome, because the Spirit, of course, is coming to give us this knowledge of grace and forgiveness. And as you said, leads us then to try to love and care for the needy we find around us.
And, you know, I think from this, we see that the holiness of God here, too, that this is a holy Lord. And no, do not deceive him. Don't lie to the Lord. No, we see that in the Old Testament, too. You know, people, their punishment even seems harsh at times. But not just the harshness of God's judgment, but I think here we see the greatness of God's grace, that he does forgive. He forgives us. He's gracious and merciful. We are here alive as proof of that, and we'll live with him in heaven.
Yeah, as you've said repeatedly, Matt, he doesn't want to give us death. He wants to give us life. So God help us by the Spirit to acknowledge that and rejoice in that.